In this episode, we're going to be talking with Matt Thornycroft from Peers, and he's going to share some tips from his experience working with influencers right after this. Welcome back to Watch Time, everyone. We're here with Matt Thornycroft. He is the communications manager at Peers Ice Cream. Good to speak with you, Matt.
Good to speak with you. Thank you guys for having us here. We're excited.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this episode.
Yeah, me too. I think we're going to be learning a lot, and our audience will too. Well, why don't we kind of start with a little bit about you and your background, if you could tell us kind of how you started and got to Peers Ice Cream.
Well, I began in journalism. I was a newspaper editor for about 11 years and was looking to get into the communications field on the other side. And I saw the opening at Peers Ice Cream Company, and it was almost like a dream come true for me because I grew up enjoying Peers Ice Cream Company. And I can remember one day my mom brought it out and she said, "This is a Cleveland company." And so that always stuck with me. And then when the opportunity came, I was very excited. And so I had to take it. So, and it's, I've been working at Peers for about 15 years and it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah. And for those who don't know, I feel very sorry for you, but Peers is an awesome Cleveland based, ice cream company. It's been around since 1932.
Mm-hmm. We began as a corner ice cream shop at East 82nd and Euclid Avenue in the east side of Cleveland, Midtown. And we've been in Midtown ever since. And we're proud to call Cleveland home. And I'm very excited to have grown so much. We began as a small family-owned business, and we remain a family-owned business, and we take a lot of pride in that.
Well, I'm sure along the way there's been a lot of, you know, different changes, and as marketing kind of approaches have evolved, and I know one of those is working with influencers, mm-hmm. so that's kind of what we want to touch mm-hmm. on today. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about how long you've, you know, been working with influencers and kind of why you started to go in that direction.
Sure. We've been working with influencer marketing since the 2010s. And it began with working with mommy bloggers who were writing in and asking if they could do reviews. And so we put together some packages and sent them out. And it was very fortunate because we had some new products at the time and expanded in some new markets. Currently, we're available in Ohio, but we had some other opportunities in other states. So we thought this is a great way mm-hmm. to spread the word about these new products. And they took the items and they reviewed them, posted them on their blog sites, and got a lot of interesting ways of representing it, but it was fun. And we moved away from that for a while, but then as social media picked up, we took the ideas that we, the things that we learned from the participating with the mommy bloggers and mm-hmm. used it for social media influencing.
That's really interesting because I just assumed before we even had this conversation that you guys started using influencers with social media, and I didn't even think back to like blogging and like mm-hmm. you guys using them for. So that's really interesting. I guess one question I have with that is like, when you started using it again with social media, did you see a lot of similarities in terms of like the strategy that you had used for like the bloggers versus like social media?
Well, when we started working out with them, it was pretty random. They all had different themes for their pages, mm-hmm. But a lot of them had incorporating things with families and family moments. And so when we start working with our social media influencers, you know, ice cream's all about experiences. Mm-hmm. And so we look for social media influencers that kind of focus on experiences and fun things that they... fun ways that they enjoy ice cream, mm-hmm. whether it be recipes or parties or some kind of serving idea. And we sort of like to be hands off, mm-hmm. like, we'll send them some flavors that we'll want them to try. We'll ask them what flavors that they love, because you want it to be genuine. Mm-hmm. And so, and we kind of let them go. But there's a lot of research that goes before, you know, we'll do it. But you also have to be open-minded and, you know, say, why not? Let's work together. Because these are about relationships, and you're developing relationships with people, and it's very genuine like that to the audience. Versus, it's easy for us to go and say how great it is, but it's even more special coming from someone else. Mm-hmm. And to see their genuine expression on their face, their smiles, and especially if, you know, they have children or grandparents or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever they do to show their content, you want it to be a genuine experience.
That makes sense too. I mean, it's really, like, I feel like at its core, like, wanting to engage with influencers, mm-hmm. is you want them to be able to, like, give their own take on something. And I guess with that, just with you guys, the things that you guys have seen with social media, do you feel that, because I know there's a big push for micro influencers, people are like, you want to go with people with smaller followings versus larger followings. Have you guys compared that? Like, have you sent some stuff to people maybe who had a larger following versus, like, a smaller? And, like, what was some of the results that you've seen?
We have worked with large and small, and it all depends on your budget. If there are occasions where we have a budget where we could use to present PRs to a larger audience, mm-hmm. then we'll participate with those. Mm-hmm. And those are great because you get in front of, like, a larger audience. So that's worked out for us. There are others that are just people who are just starting out, and they say, hey, I'm want to do a collaboration. Mm-hmm. Would you mind? And then we work something out, and they do just as an amazing job with it too. It just depends on who their audience is. And mm-hmm. we like to be diverse because, say, like, a celebrity per se has their certain type of audience. Mm-hmm. You have maybe a chef that has their type of audience. You have, let's say, a college student living on their own. They have their own mm-hmm. particular audience. So you're looking for, at least when we do it, we kind of look for diversity mm-hmm. and just to try to get as in front of many different people as possible. One of the most fun collaborations we had was just recently. It was a woman who reached out to us. She was getting started in influencing, and she had an idea to make an affogato, which is it's Italian for coffee and ice cream. And so mm-hmm. she got this new cappuccino machine, and she's firing it up, and while she's doing this video, she's just making an espresso. And as she's doing this, she's telling her story about her experience with Pierre's ice cream growing up. And it was one of the most genuine, fun things, and all you're doing is watching her make coffee. Mm-hmm. So that was a lot of fun, and it's like, it's one of those experiences that you just can't create that on your own. Yeah. Or in, like, a regular ad. Mm-hmm. It's something that's, you know, real.
It's like that you can say, like, you can always say, like, this is why we're great, or this is what we do, and this is we're a family company, and we create these memories. But to have somebody actually say that they have those memories, mm-hmm. like you just did it, you know, at the beginning of this, like, that those are the things that stick with people.
And it helps educate the public about, or people who may not normally purchase your product. It's kind of like being introduced at a party or at some kind of event where you can walk up to a group of people and introduce yourself to them, but it probably has a more meaningful impact if you're introduced by someone who's connected to both groups.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. It's you know, kind of what you were saying about, you know, it being introduced to new audiences, mm-hmm. and being able to see your product maybe used in different ways that you didn't even think about. People getting really creative with it.
And it's a learning experience for us too, because it, you know, oh, we never would have thought of that, mm-hmm. or it's something that we may not have tried on our own. Maybe like some crazy ice cream topping, or, you know, it's when you get a lot of people thinking about different ways of how they interact with your product, it's fun to watch.
You talked about some of the research that you do, and since you have been working with influencers for a while, I'm sure there's some do's and don'ts and best practices and things. So when you're considering working with an influencer, like what kind of stuff do you look at? Like you mentioned their following and maybe some of their other videos, the way they approach products, but how do you kind of vet them and choose the right one for you?
Starts with budget. So going in, we know what we can and can't do. And it helps when negotiating too, because you don't want to go swing for that one influencer that has hundreds of thousands of followers and then only to find out that it's just not, you know, worth it. And so we start looking there, what we want. We look at, like what kinds of content do they do? So is it, are we looking to have some recipes, or are we, do they represent it in such a way that, that we want it to be represented? Are they more risque, or are they more, you know, family fun? So we look at that. We also try to be open-minded. Well, sometimes we'll have an idea, like we'll see something on their page. So they might do like a series of posts. Like we worked with one in Columbus when we expanded down into there. And she loved doing things with her family. And so we sent her a party pack. And she went, and not only did she have the party pack that we had packaged together, which our party packs are genuinely like 7 containers of ice cream. And we'll have like cups and spoons and ice cream scoops. And we'll have ice cream parlor hats with our logos on them. And they can do with whatever with them. And she had a, she invited the neighborhood and had this ice cream social, and she went to the grocery store. She had bowls of cherries and dishes of chocolate, and it was a lot of fun. And, but that was kind of what we saw, what she did on our site. And we said, hey, do you think you could try this? And she was all for it, but not asking them to do something that's out of what they normally do. And, checking to see if what they do is something that fits for your brand. We also will look at other companies too. They, you know, maybe there's a company that has something that might fit well with your product. Like another influencer we worked with was, her name was Pat. She created a product called Pat's Granola, and actually she's now evolved into as a kitchen consultant, but we thought, oh, this would be a great ice cream topping. So we thought, you know, we'll trade, we'll give you some ice cream and maybe we'll get some granola. And she was at the time just coming out with this product. So she was trying to get it into stores. And so we could help each other. And so she has her audience and we have ours, and that turned out really well. And we got a lot of, interesting flavors of granola that we could try with different things. And so it worked out well for the both of us. So finding a way that the two of you can collaborate. I mean, it's influencers are not just, you know, people at home with their trying to do fun, crazy things and getting stuff for free. It's you can always look at your own list and find someone, you know, who I can work with. And actually that's something we like to start with too. When we first started looking at influencers, who follows us? Because your fan base, I mean, these people like you already. And so you don't need to convince them, and that sort of adds to that genuine thing. I mean, you probably, when was the last time that you looked at your followers? You might be surprised at who's following you. And so starting there is a really good place to go.
That's a great tip. Absolutely. Yeah. You know, you might, you know, have people, but you might have brands, you know, or people with some pretty good followings already in your, you know, right in your audience.
Another company, I keep telling you all these stories, but there's one, it's brownie brittle. They reached out to us and
love that.
Yeah.
Like, we're talking a national brand, and at first we weren't so sure because they're national, we're not. Mm-hmm. What is that going to do? And we were like, why not? You know? Mm-hmm. And we did this, they put together this fun giveaway where it was a whole bunch of brownie brittle, a Pierre's ice cream party. They found someone who was selling board games. Mm-hmm. And so it was like this really nice package, a nationwide contest, got our name. It got us a lot of traffic and, mm-hmm. and interest and likes and follows. So that was very worthwhile, and it was fun. And we got a lot of brownie brittle to play with, but it's working with a national, someone with national exposure with mm-hmm. a lot of followers, and it's not conventional, but it was simply a trade.
Mm-hmm. That's really interesting. For you guys, like, I guess one thing I was curious about, like, I know you're talking about, like, you're not necessarily giving, steering a lot of like where the content's going, you're kind of like leaving it up to them. But do you guys, like, do you ever look specifically, like, when you are looking through, like, this person does recipes and like, we'd want to do some more have them do some recipes because that'd be cool. Or do you look at, like, this person, like, already collaborates with somebody else, so, like, maybe they would utilize, like, your, like, has it been, like, where they've utilized, like, your ice cream and maybe somebody else's topping? So it's kind of, like, not an official collaboration, but a collaboration.
There have been times like that, too. And it's cool because it might be from someone who has a lot of followers.
Mm-hmm.
Who is a recipe person, maybe not someone that we could probably work with, but it's cool to have them be a fan of ours and sort of help them along the way. And we also try to, like, have that relationship. So if I know that there's someone that's following us, mm-hmm. who's, you know, a respected person with whatever it is they're doing, you engage with them and like their stuff and comment on it and share it. You know, it's sort of like, as they say, social media is social.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're developing that relationship, and who knows what can happen, but you'll never do it if you don't, like, jump in the water and do it. And it can be intimidating. Oh, do you think that this person, this celebrity chef, will,
mm-hmm.
like anything that I have to say on their post or whatever? And you'd be surprised, some of them do, and it's exciting.
So how do you go about, you mentioned that you were pretty open with letting people take, you know, their concept the way that mm-hmm. they kind of want to, but do you ever require that they share the content with you ahead of time, or do you see it for the first time when they post?
We will ask, and sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But that part also comes down to doing your homework in advance before you even reach out to them. Because usually what you see them posting in their stories, in their reels, in their feeds,
mm-hmm.
that's what you're going to get. So if you're looking for something crazy and off the wall, then you look for people that post things crazy and off the wall. If you're looking for something more buttoned down and neat and sort of like
safe
magazine
yeah.
look, then that's what you're gonna get. So especially if it's kind of like a share interaction where we sort of collaborate publicly,
mm-hmm.
Then we do look at it first, but in terms of like micromanaging it, we don't do that per se. So we sort of let their creativity, because we want them to be comfortable and we want them to do something that that they normally do.
Mm-hmm.
I guess one question I have too, just kind of based off of like, because now you're going to be kind of thinking like with the review, and I think about like YouTubers, for example. I know like that's a big thing with some of the like paid, like when they have like people sponsoring their videos and mm-hmm. stuff. Have you guys worked with YouTube influencers versus like Instagram versus TikTok? Like, have you worked with a variety, and like, have you seen more success with one versus another or anything like that?
Not a lot. Mm-hmm. We will, but we're just kind of getting into the mm-hmm. game in terms of the video. A lot of it is like Facebook, and Instagram right now. But and often too, sometimes we're just sort of getting into the video game. So if it's something where it's a mutual collaboration, you know, we want to be able to do as great of a job with what they have as what they do with ours too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and I guess, sorry, I have another question off that just for everyone that's like watching and listening. Cause I think this is interesting, especially for people watching that maybe have a business and they're thinking about expanding. Like when you started working with the, like an influencer in Columbus, cause you're kind of going to the market, did you guys feel, and I don't know if you have the stats for this or not, and if you don't, it's no big deal, but did you kind of notice, like, did that help soften the market for you a little bit where now people kind of maybe, some people had heard of Pierre's at that point that maybe hadn't before? Is that kind of to the idea?
I definitely think so. And it's cool to be able to introduce yourself to someone and to do it through an influencer is a really great way to do it. And one of the collaborations we had was with a Columbus influencer who simply just took video of herself walking from the parking lot into the store to the freezer, opening the door and pulling out a Pierre's container. And that was just so fun. And what better introduction to a new market than that? I mean, you're literally, that's why she's going to the store and she's pulling out your product from the shelf. And that was very fun and effective. And we have a very strong, I mean, Columbus is, it's close, but it's far enough removed from Cleveland that it has its own products and culture and sense of community. And to be embraced by Columbus, it was exciting. And we, you know, are still in Columbus, available there, and we credit a lot of that to working with influencers, for sure.
One question, too, I have, just thinking, I'm just trying to expand a little more, because I'm thinking about variety of products. When you do go to work with somebody, like, are there specific products, like, are you looking at more of, like, maybe this person's more of a fit for ice cream versus this person's more of a fit for, like, maybe like the frozen yogurt or things like, are you looking for those things and keeping those in mind? Like, we really should be promoting some more frozen yogurt. So let's see if this person.
Definitely. We have a line of dairy-free sherbet and dairy-free is very big for people. For some people, they don't eat any dairy at all for whatever reason. So again, researching, finding out what kind of content that they produce, and especially if it's like the dairy-free community or vegan, vegetarian community, like they're very tied into each other because there's not a lot of options for them. And kind of to be able to introduce ourselves, present it, and say, we have this great thing, why don't you try it? It's very effective, for sure. And it all comes down to just researching. We'll even research as far as we can, find out where they are. I mean, it's hard in social media, and they'll usually have followers from all over the country, but you know, if someone says they are from this area or supports businesses from a certain area or whatever clues we can take, that's helpful too, because we don't want to find someone in Omaha, Nebraska, and you know, while they might do a great job, you can't buy Pierre's in Omaha, Nebraska.
Yeah.
So.
Kind of defeats the purpose.
Yeah.
It's very
tactical. And it's a lot of work, too, because you're coming up with these ideas and you're talking with them. So you don't want your all this effort to not be productive for you.
Yeah. Definitely.
And we have turned down influencers that, you know, might not fit our location or our, you know, for whatever reason. And don't be afraid to say no. But we're also very open-minded too with whom we work with.
So if you're in the Ohio area and you want to potentially get involved with influencing with Pierre's,
just see me.
Reach out to Matt.
Yeah. Call for Matt.
No, that's well, I do have a question though. That's been a lot of great information. And I feel like for a lot of people that are watching and listening, It's good because, like, you know, like you had said, you guys are kind of getting more involved in it. And I feel like there are probably a lot of companies out there that are also in the same boat, or they're like, maybe they've been doing it with Instagram and they're trying, maybe they're going to try YouTube. So I think it's great, the exploration and trying to see what works and what doesn't work. But the question that I've really been wanting to ask you since the beginning of the podcast is, what is your favorite Pierre's flavor?
Cookies and cream.
Oh, such a classic. Yeah, I love it.
It's the perfect flavor. It blew my mind. I was really young when it first came out, and it was like, whoa, why didn't I think of that? And it is because I love those chocolate cream cookies, and I loved ice cream, and just to mix them together. You know, it's funny. I would try to mix them at home when we just had vanilla in the freezer, but it's never the same.
No, it never is.
See, I can get behind that. I'm a chocolate chip cookie dough fan, so I feel like it's along the same lines.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a great flavor.
I don't know. I like to bounce around. I really do. Sometimes I go more like fruit oriented, more chocolate oriented. Mm-hmm. So I just like the variety aspect of it.
I will say, you guys have, is it cupcake?
Yes.
I want to try that one. That one's on my list. I saw it the other day, but my wife didn't really want cupcake. She wanted to, like, we had to meet in the middle, so we ended up getting s'mores, and that was delicious. Mm. It was really good. Mm-hmm. It tasted like a campfire.
Yeah, that is a great flavor. You know, it's fun coming out with those new and interesting ones and getting to try them from when you first dream them up in your head, and when it's finally done, it's really exciting to see.
What's kind of cool, I think, from the influencer perspective on that, I know we were talking about this before, and I just kind of wanted to bring it back to this because I thought it was a really cool story. Just talking about, like, you being able to see the reactions that people have with that. I know we talked a little bit about, like, you had sent some ice cream to, like, a family, and mm-hmm. you got a chance to see, like, the kids' reaction. So I think that's really...
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. It was a mom and her son, mm-hmm. and she was a local children's book author, and she reached out to us, wanted to see if we did collaborations, and we said, oh, absolutely. And so we sent her a box of ice cream, some new flavors, some flavors that they loved, and all it was just a unboxing. This little boy gets the cooler, and he's opening the box, and his just face lights up when he finds his favorite flavor in there. And it was all unscripted and just him just riffing, and it was it's a lot of fun, and it made a smile. Some of these you can just watch over and over again, and when you make a connection like that with something, whatever it is that you do in your business, to make that connection, it's exciting because you know you've made someone's day, and that's what ice cream's all about. You know, being happy, taking your mind off what's off the stresses in the world, and so to see that happen in real life, it's just fun.
I feel like you don't get into marketing ice cream if you're not looking for the smiles.
Yeah,
no, for sure. And it can be hard when you're sitting at your office or behind a computer on your phone. I mean, that's what's so great about social media, and it's putting you in touch with people that you never met before, and it's like you have this window into their dining room or into their lives, and you're seeing in real time this interaction.
Yeah, and even if people on social media aren't official influencers, everybody's kind of an influencer in their own way. So that's something to keep in mind too.
Yeah, and that's kind of like a motto that we have. I mean, even someone that calls you on the phone or sends you an email, answer them because they're an influencer. If someone's complaining about a defective product or a flavor that they didn't have enough chocolate chips in their chocolate chip, you want to be respectful and acknowledge and sort of win them back because they are an influencer. Just they often say, for every bad experience that could impact so many people that you just don't know about, because just as much as you're excited about something, you want to tell all your friends about it. When you're not excited about something or have a bad experience, you're just going to be so mad and you're just going to go tell as many people as you can to vent. And those are bad impressions. And you want everyone, even if they had an experience that was not the best, you want them to know that you appreciate them letting you know that you're going to fix it and you want to make them better, and they're willing to share that with others. And that's very important to treat people, you know, respectfully and to answer them and to communicate.
Well, for everybody that's watching, if they wanted to experience peers and connect with peers, how can they connect with you and the marketing team?
You can send us a note. We're icecream@peers.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, and X. So it's Peers Tweets on X. Instagram is Peers_ice_cream. And Facebook is Peers Ice Cream.
I'm going to put in a plug for Instagram because I follow you guys on Instagram and I enjoy the content and the posts. And so definitely go check them out and follow, give them a follow. And if you're looking for good flavors and you're in the market, in the Pierre's market, go try some of those flavors we just talked about.
Oh, absolutely. And our spring seasonals are out now. Peaches and cream. We just made a first batch of it. And coconut pineapple and Spirit of America is out too.
Just brought us some peaches and cream, so I'll be trying that very soon.
Yes, yes. I think all we have left to do now is go eat ice cream. So thanks.
That sounds great.
Thanks so much for being on, Matt. Sure. We appreciate it.
Thank you so much for your time. We really appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for listening to Watch Time. We hope you guys enjoyed today's episode.
And remember to like and subscribe so you don't miss future episodes.
And if you want your question answered on our podcast, go to flexmediacle.com/watchtime.